Dermot and Dave.
Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today
FM. It's one of the toughest shows. I would argue it's the toughest show on telly. It's a grueling 2-week course involving swimming in the coldest waters, hiking up hills carrying impossible weights, living on no sleep, very little food, and being shouted at by very angry and intimidating soldiers. A man from County Down has become one of only 12 civilians to make it through SAS Who Dares Wins. And we should say, if you're saving the final episode of SAS Who Dares Wins, although it was 5 or 6 days ago, you know, you may not want to listen to the next bit. But Connor Smith is on the phone now and he joins us. Hello, Connor, how are you?
Hello, Dave, I'm great. How are you?
Good. We'll assume the people who don't want the spoiler have moved on, and I'll say congratulations for being the winner of SAS Who Dares Wins.
Thank you very much, Dave. That means a lot. You know, it's great for you to take the time to talk to me this morning. So thanks a million. I'm just on cloud nine. It's still kind of hard to put into words how I'm feeling right now.
I can only imagine. So let's just go back in on your life story a bit and kind of get a picture of you before you entered into the show. So you're 30, you're from Newton Ards in County Down, and you're an Irish dancer.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I was dragged to Irish dance classes by my mum since I was a kid. And, you know, it was just sort of a natural thing to do. My older sister, Lauren, she's also a professional dancer. And, you know, she went first to the classes. And then naturally, I, along with my other brothers and sisters, went along to the dancing classes. And, you know, it was sort of something that I kind of just went to because my mum took me. Mm. But it didn't take long until, you know, I realized that I was quite talented at it. And, you know, it was something that I should pursue and keep doing as a kid.
Well, you did. And you went on Michael Flatley's Lord of the Dance, Rhythm of the Dance, Feet of Flames. You've been doing it professionally for a number of years now.
Yeah. I've been very fortunate. You know, there's been a massive slice of luck on my side. After I graduated university in 2011, I just went and joined one of the professional shows to tour the world, thinking nothing really much of it. And a few years later, I ended up in Lord of the Dance, you know, and I'm proud to still be there today. Obviously, Michael Flatley was a huge inspiration growing up. You know, I think everyone can say that he was the guy that put Irish dancing on the map and, you know, made it cool for young guys. You know, so for him to be my boss and to be able to work with him to this day has just been a dream come true.
I can imagine, so, yeah. And obviously, being a professional dancer, I would imagine that from a physical fitness point of view, you know, going into SAS Who Dares Wins, you would have been okay. But I can't imagine that the mental side of things would be very easy. And I suppose to anybody who maybe hasn't seen the show, we should probably explain that, you know, for 2 weeks, you are literally put to the test physically and mentally in ways that I don't think anybody else on any other reality TV show gets close to what you guys go through.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's the toughest test on TV. But yeah, 2020 was a strange year for us. We were brought back from tour, obviously due to COVID, last March. Mm. And I applied for SAS Who Dares Wins then and there. But, you know, I didn't get the call until July. So by that time, I was maybe a little out of shape. You know, I wasn't the fittest I've been. Gyms were closed. And, you know, it was a tough time for everyone. So around then, I had 9 weeks to get myself in the best shape possible. You know, and I just gave it my all. And throughout that preparation, doing the physical stuff, you know, day after day, really sort of built up my mental capacity. And I feel as if that put me in good stead for the course.
And, like, it might be a very obvious question, Connor, but why would you do SAS Who Dares Wins when you could do, I don't know, Changing Rooms or The Bake Off or something that's like far less of a test than this? What was it about yourself at this point in your life that made you want to do the toughest show on TV?
I've been a big fan of the show for years. I've always sort of been intrigued by it. And, you know, the first time I seen it, I just thought I could do that. And, you know, people think I'm mad, but I really sort of felt as if, you know, I could give it a good go. But the main thing was sort of to showcase the strength and you know, the physical fitness of Irish dancers and, you know, try to be a role model for young male dancers who are maybe struggling with, you know, the teasing and the sort of bullying that comes with being an Irish dancer as a kid. You know, it's something that's
one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, it is mentioned in the show, and funny, like, your personality is amazing in the show. Like, look, in a show like this, you get people who've been in prison, you get people who've, you know, lived rough lives on the streets, you get ex-military, you get people who all seem to be tough already. Whereas you were quite open about the fact, you're like, I avoid confrontation. If somebody shouts at me, my bottom lip is going to quiver and I'm going to start crying. So, yeah, it's just, I wanted to ask you about your upbringing as a dancer. Did that contribute to your decision to go and almost prove yourself in this situation?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. You know, I always feel as if people maybe haven't taken me seriously because of what I do. You know, people just think I live the life and go off dancing around the world, you know, but any professional dancer has sacrificed a lot throughout their career, you know, and especially living away on the road, you know. There's many weddings and special events that you miss, and, you know, you're spending time away from your family, and, you know, performing with the best of the best, you know, we have to live by very high standards, and, you know, there's so much sacrifice, there's so much discipline, and, you know, the work that we put in before going onto the stage, you know, 6-9 times a week, and, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable, really. So, you know, to try and kind of showcase that and make younger dancers proud of what they do, you know, like, there was many times I felt embarrassed about being a dancer because, you know, I wasn't maybe seen as a man's man. So to try and sort of change that stereotype and, you know, challenge stigmas which are out there. And, you know, I've had so many amazing messages from young dancers and, you know, parents of young boys who are dancing to kind of say that, you know, I've done them proud, and those are the messages that mean the most to me.
I can imagine. Yeah, you definitely have. And I mean, I think anybody who realistically thinks about Irish dancing or any dancing of any description and the physicality involved and the strength and the fitness, I mean, if you really give yourself time to think about it, you'll realize very quickly that getting on stage, as you said, 6 or 9 times a week is far beyond what most humans do in a general scenario, no matter how fit or strong they are. It's Today FM, it's Dermot and Dave. We're talking to Conor Smith, who, and apologies if you were keeping this episode as a secret, but it was on last Sunday. We'll talk about it now. Is the winner of SAS Who Dares Wins, along with a chap called Kieran Lang. Let's have a listen for a second, Conor, to a bit from the show. I wanted to pick this one out. This is in the last episode, which is called Interrogation, which is definitely the toughest of all of the challenges. And that's why it's the last episode. And it really, really separates, you know, the winners from the other people who are taking part. So let's have a listen to some of the interrogation, because I think it will probably surprise people how it sounds. It's different than maybe people's perception would be.
Oh, you don't like that, do you? You don't like this, do you? You got all tense on me. What did you say to us?
The truth.
Stand up.
They are the truth.
Which is...
You know the truth.
Talk to
the
not right here.
What's going on?
What's not right is your story. What's right is you're full of and we need to wash that off, don't we?
Move. Con.
This is yours.
Connor.
So that last second is one of the female interrogators just throwing a bucket of water on you. And what surprised me about the interrogation episode, Connor, is that you kind of have this impression, maybe from action movies and whatever, that it's all like, you know, pulling out fingernails with pliers or, you know, beating you to within an inch of your life. But this was a complete mental attack, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's all sort of in your mind. Of course, there's some kind of physical challenges with it as well. You know, we were put in stress positions, and ones that I certainly underestimated, you know, sitting flat on the floor with your body upright and your hands out in front of you is a test for 6 or 7 minutes, let alone, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes before they would put you in the next stress positions. But we were also having to listen to, you know, horrible noises. There was babies crying. There was pigs squealing. There was drill noises, screeching glass. So it was really just you and your own thoughts, which was quite daunting going into it, you know, because the sense of unknown kind of just is a hard one. But then, of course, then once you start getting questioned by the interrogators on your story and what you're doing, and then they play you off against your team. So it's a real sort of mental battle to think, you know, I don't want to let the team down here. And
whereas you were faced with the flip of that, because you walked in, had the hood that was over your eyes taken off, and you saw one of your teammates sitting down eating not one but 2 hot chicken dinners. Well, obviously you would have been starving at this point. And he's like, yeah, I just told the truth. So your team had effectively turned on you.
That's it, 100%. And, you know, at that stage, we didn't really know how long we were there. I had guessed maybe, you know, anything between 8 and 12 hours. And I think it was close to 11 at that stage. But I don't know at that time if he's the first person to have given up the story or if he's maybe the third person. So it was a really tough one. And you know, that particular moment, that went on for a while, which didn't really come across on TV. But I just wasn't given in the story. And it seemed that I actually did give it up on the last minute.
Right.
Because if you don't give it up at the very last minute, they will pull you and just think, they'll just say, you know, you don't really understand that. You know, once you feel like your life's in danger, you have to give it up.
Okay, right. Because, the reality is then that you may, if it was a real, you know, capture scenario, you may just been killed and then you're useless to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Well, after the interrogations, if that wasn't enough, then they sent you on an unbelievably grueling carry of some of the heaviest stuff you can imagine up a giant mountain. But at the top of that, yourself and Kieran were standing there and this moment happened.
The ultimate question that we ask ourselves, could I have this person by my side? Could I put my life in this person's hands and theirs in mine? I can say that both of you have passed this course. Well done.
Is that your robot?
Absolutely outstanding. Well done.
What's it like watching that episode back? And I presume you did it with your family around you. What's that like last Sunday?
Yeah, it was a very sort of emotional moment for us. We had a bunch of our family up here in County Down. And, you know, my grandfather's 89 years old and he's kind of been a big inspiration in our life. So, you know, it was just a special night for us. And, you know, there was tears everywhere once that moment hit that, you know, I had passed the course. You know, I just gave everything, you know, for months leading up until that course. And then throughout the course, it was just 100% effort, a real sort of physical and emotional journey. So that was just a release of so many emotions.
Yeah.
Number one, probably relief.
That's relief over.
Yeah, exactly. It was over and, you know, I sort of felt as if I had done the Irish Dancing World proud and myself and my family proud.
You definitely have, yeah. And what now, Connor? I mean, are you going to go back to dancing or is there a military career in the offing?
I definitely feel like I have some unfinished business with the Irish Dancing. You know, I've been lucky to tour with Lord of the Dance for 8 years and, you know, I'm 31 now and I still sort of feel as if I'm improving and, you know, becoming better as a performer and you know, getting better with my craft. So, I mean, I think there's a lesson there for everyone. You know, you never stop learning. So once things get back to normal, I can't wait to get back on the road with Lord of the Dance. And, you know, who knows what else is to come?
Staff Sergeant Connor Smith, perhaps, in the future. Who knows? Well, look, there's lots of texts coming in saying how proud people are of you and absolutely delighted for you that you're incredible throughout the whole show. So lots of texts of support. Thanks for joining us this morning. Congratulations on winning SAS Who Dares Wins. And hopefully we'll see more of you soon.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure speaking to you this morning.
Cheers, Connor. Take care.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.